Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Core, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzie. Having escaped with a strange briefcase pursued by deadly Imperial fighters, our heroes have to figure out what to do next. Vic faced an existential crisis when he realized gambling skills might not be necessary at this time. Walker and Brash ended up in an armed standoff, and we discovered our gang had accidentally stolen Emperor Palpatine's lightsaber! There, you're caught up. So get out of my shop, or spend money. No credits, only money!
You're locked in a Corellian standoff. Fonzie, you've got your broom blaster aimed at Brash, who to your mind is preventing you from going in search of a family that you aren't entirely sure exists, but something in your gut's telling you you need to go after. Brash, the force of chaos and weapon fire that you've been trying to control has very unsteadily pointed a blaster at you and is demanding you go in search of his family. You're on your back, knowing that Imperials might be tracking you right now, but a blaster in his face, making sure he can't take you down. Vic, someone interrupted your fucking phone call, and that was very rude.
Super rude.
but between all of you is a humming red blade held by a wide-eyed, soot-covered Twi'lek who just kind of turns it off and just goes, no. And she just drops it and walks out. And you can see she looks haunted. And the blade kind of drops to the ground and kind of like clatters on the deck between the three of you.
I'll pick it up.
We're all going for it. Okay.
So all three of you managed to get a hand on it. There's... like all of you feel just almost a concussive blast. Something courses through you. Fonzie, you see a glimpse of people that you feel warmth and affection for, but your vision's kind of blurring in and out. At times they look like Brash and Vic, but at other times they look like other species, other people. They seem to be wearing armor very similar to yours. They seem to be saluting you. You seem to be saluting them. And then there's an explosion and a green blade and everything goes dark. Vic, you see money. You see credits, just endless credits. You see yourself kind of held up in a tide of adoration and joy. Yep. With people just kind of waiting on your every need. It's everything you currently have, but magnified by massive factors. Fonzie, after the blade ignites, you feel a blade ignite in your hand, and rather than a flash of blue in front of your eyes, there's red as you bring the blade down and strike down whatever took your memories. And then you see... kind of you think of yourself calling to your compatriots and together charging an unknown location with an unknown goal, but you can feel triumph just out of reach. And Brash, for you, you see a glimpse of a massive chamber and someone clad in two figures clad in black, one with a long flowing cape decked in armor. Another in a simple flight suit, a flash of green, a flash of red. You look to your hands and you can feel power. You can almost feel electricity coursing through you. And then suddenly the figure in armor turns and you see it's Xanatos, and he walks towards you. And in your moment of triumph, he hoists you over his head and throws you into an abyss. And suddenly all of you snap back to the cockpit you're all just like soaked through with sweat. You don't know how much time has passed, but there is a blaring alarm, a proximity alarm of ships coming out of hyperspace. And I think I think Brash, you'd be the first to react to this because you've got piloting skills. So as you kind of blink this weird vision that felt so real out of your eyes, you can see the prototype fighters dropping into your orbit.
Great, man. Fuck the guns. Fuck the standoff. Fuck all that shit. I was ready for this. I'll spend Destiny because I didn't say it earlier, so we'll do that. But I definitely, when we got here and knew we were getting into this, I was like, I've pre-programmed the next hyperspace jump. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just back to the controls, like unlock with biometrics and hit the button so we take off again.
Cool. So you stumble up, you mash the button, and the ship lurches. All of you are kind of thrown to the ground. Vic and Fonzie, how are you reacting to what just happened?
I would probably want to look out a window or a vid screen or something like that to see which party has found us first. But if we've already taken off, I'm...
You would see them. I mean, he's lurching for the controls. Because I think the way it actually works is he hears the proximity alarms and knows what those mean. So he just immediately lurches for the button. You're staring at the viewport.
So what do I see?
You see three very slick fighter craft. I think you don't really know...
Nah.
Fighters. No. But you do know, like, pleasure yachts and fast flying ships. And these look pretty sleek. Fonzie, how about you?
So I'm like wearing my helmet the whole time.
Yep.
So when I had the flashback of leading the army, I kind of snap out of it and I just have this smile on my face that I'm remembering that I just like, it's like you had a dream, but you don't remember the dream.
Right.
Just, like it was just like joy, but I don't know if it was like Christmas morning joy or I just destroyed a village joy,
you know,
that's fair. That kind of thing. I'm like, oh, and so then, but then I look outside, I see the ships. And I go to Brash, who's like, we're not done. And then I go and I run to the weapon systems.
Cool. So I think as he's firing up the hyperdrive, you manage to like get a couple pot shots off. They're more like, it's really one of those like, ah, fuck, as you're kind of pulled away. And then you jump to hyperspace. So what I'm going to say is none of you can safely handle the blade without being overtaken by visions. Apart from your initial kind of like clear vision, it's just like someone brainjacking you. Like there's just too much. You're just seeing so many random images that I think ultimately the blade, you collectively deem the blade is too dangerous for any of you to currently.
Yeah. I think we'll just like jam it in a footlocker, like just something that looks out of the way and we'll put it like
sweep.
Yeah. Like sweep.
Just dust pans it into a thing.
And I think, we put it in something boring and we'll hide it in the engineerium. So it'll just be hidden amongst a bazillion other boxes. So nobody's going to stumble on it on a random search. And I want to space that fucking suitcase.
Yeah. So you space the suitcase. That's totally fine. I think for narrative's sake, I'm going to say the three of you agree to biometrically lock the case with all three of your signatures. So it'll take all three of you to open it. Cause I really don't think any of you would like be okay with it just being like, oh, it's Brash's.
Yeah.
So it's locked. All three of you have the key. I'm going to say what I'd like to do to just kind of wrap up this segment of the adventure is the three of you sit down, you're in hyperspace, you're safe for the moment. You sit down in you're welcomed into Vic's room.
Yep.
You sit down at the common table.
I set down some drinks.
Basically I want to just wrap up the daughter issue and where to go next. I will say, just so you have it as you think about this, your major leads, you know that the two warring syndicates around the gas giant Ico are the Blue Cartel and the Cup Syndicate. From what Agrippa told you, it seems as though the Cup Syndicate is now in possession of the refinery artifact, which seems that Xanatos has made a deal with the other people. If you remember, it's kind of a Hatfields and McCoy thing, two moons in synchronous orbit around a gas giant full of platforms that these two gangs fight over. So one option is to investigate the Cup Syndicate and see what happened there. You know there's Imperial interest. You have an item that is far too hot for you. So another option would be to try and find someone who might be able to give you more information on this or how you fence this. This is not what you were told you could obtain. This was not on the cargo manifest. This is ridiculous.
Not
it's not diamonds. You also have the concern of potential hostages back on Varos under Agrippa. That said, you also have absolutely no confirmation that those hostages are real. So that's kind of where the lay of the land is. That said, Fonzie, you very much feel as though there's someone in peril that you need to save. So I'll leave it to you guys to sort it out. Those are your options. What would you like to do?
Yeah, so I think we all sit down. Vic, would you have invited us into the mess hall, or would we be in a different room?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And I would have like laid out some drinks, you know, some mixed nuts, you know, maybe some cheese,
some
whatever
jerky.
I find.
Jerky.
It's cheese or jerky or some fucking thing. I don't know.
it's Vic having to do his own layout, so it's just cheese and jerky. That's all that was available.
Yeah.
All right, so we're all here. I take the seat that has the best lighting, of course. I've like hunted through. Tom, what kind of clothing would I find? Because I was at this point just a shirtless grease monkey, and I would probably try to dress myself.
You've put yourself together in like a not great vintage hunt outfit. Like You know, you found the best pieces in a bad vintage store.
Great. I cut the sleeves off. And I only do the button up on the top of it to like mid torso. So it's just like a lot of chest. I'm very green. So I sit down and I eat some cheese, I guess, out of the two options. So it's time for us to have a little conversation about how we're going to move forward just collectively. So we all have particular goals. Fonzie, killing everyone and getting back his theoretical or possibly imaginary daughter. Vic, what do you want?
I want to, probably want to make sure my parents are okay. You know, I think we can kind of like get two for one here. Let's go to the, Cup Cartel and, just give them that laser sword. Vic's a fucking idiot. Just give them that big laser what's-it, and trade them for, the whatever artifact thingy is, and then we'll just give it to Agrippa. No problem. Bing, bang, boom.
Vic, I like you. Abstractly.
I know. Everyone likes
but
me.
But what needs to be considered is we don't know what the sword is worth, and if you were a criminal enterprise where we showed up with something that was either worthless or priceless, and then we said, give us a thing we want, and there are three of us in a ship, if you were them, why wouldn't you just shoot us and take it? And then you have both things, and we have nothing.
Well, I wanted three ships, but apparently that was not doable. So, you know, I'm improvising. Maybe we go buy some ships.
So you want us to save your family. Let's stay focused. No plans until we know the goals. Save family.
God, Walker, you're such a rugged man of action, you know? Sometimes it's tough.
Walker,
and I try to find good light to, like, brood.
So, there are certain ways we can move forwards. We can go back and try to free our... Okay, realistically, I'm going to just put a couple of bumper lanes on this. I don't know if you all bowl, but it's very big on my planet, Polly. Everyone bowls. Bumper lanes mean you can't fail. If we go back to Agrippa... and we try to steal the hostages, we're dead. All of us. This ship is not that great. We have something that is very problematic, and Agrippa has an army. If we go to the Cup Syndicate, we could try to find out what's going on. We could try to steal the artifact. But Xanatos is there, and they might kill us. We do have a priceless or worthless question mark artifact. Something, that laser sword... we don't know what it's worth. If it's worth a lot, we could trade it and perhaps get back our hostages through money. We could also find out, while we're doing research, if there are hostages. Walker, we could confirm if you have a daughter.
I got one more mystery to throw on the whole mystery table here.
Great.
Mystery table.
I love the mystery table.
I had dragged my bike in, so I'm like sitting on my bike, and it's been kind of repaired. And so I say like, remember when we first started, and I brought the jukebox on the ship with me?
Yeah, kind of.
A little bit, yes.
Okay, well,
seemed innocuous at the time and unimportant.
That was more a you thing than an us thing.
Okay, well, the jukebox. Told me not to say anything, but the jukebox was talking to me, and it told me about something important. And then when the ship got blown up, I thought I lost the jukebox. But then Shatterstar said that she took bits of the jukebox and put it into my bike. So and then I banged my bike, and
Fonzie style.
Yeah, Fonzie style. And then the message plays again.
Yeah. So the message. As you'll remember, basically offers a gift of friendship and great reward to anyone inside the Blue Cartel who can smuggle out access codes to certain facilities on ICO. And at the end, it says,
the Cops Syndicate would consider this quite a gift.
So I figure we take this here memory stick to the other ICO people or whatever they said, And maybe we can use it to against Agrippa.
Let me explain to you what that secret was. The Cup Syndicate, the people who Agrippa is having an issue with, wanted us to bring them passcodes to Agrippa's facilities. We do not have those passcodes.
We gotta go get them.
Vic kind of raises a finger.
Yes, Vic.
Levels it at Nyx and Shatterstar and says, they do.
Hey, friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dumb Dumbs and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Okay, so you've decided that you want to interrogate either Shatterstar or Nyx to attempt to gain the access codes to Agrippa's kind of servers, or at least to find out if they have them. Vic, you've assumed that they do.
Yeah.
But in order to actually figure that out, you'll have to try and charm them or convince them. That said, they also see you do that, and...
Well, I mean, Nyx is basically unconscious. He's going like, so...
Not much there.
Yeah, yeah. But Shatterstar's like, whoa, no, hang on. Well, Agrippa didn't trust us with anything that big, and she starts to try and back out of the room.
I step by the doorway, and I bring my bike, too, with me, and I sit on my bike, and I like, block the door, and I just kind of, like, give some, like, toed.
And she's like, after all the dragging I did of that burnt out bike, you're really gonna turn on me?
No. I still need you to work on my bike. We just need to talk to you. That's all.
Okay. Well, what do you want to know?
Those access codes would be ideal.
Look, I've got access codes to some doors, but I'm not exactly like I'm a grease monkey. I'm not like a server specialist.
Well, don't sell yourself short. You were selected to join my prestigious team for this heist. So, I mean, you gotta have some kind of
credentials. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I can get you in the back door, and I can get you in the front door, and I can get you roof access if you want to go to our sweet upstairs patio.
That all sounds pretty good. Let's see what Nyx has got.
Nyx is going to need some more time to become conscious.
Well, no, hold on a second. I'll just like yell like, Nyx, get ready to say the passcode. And I gently press down on his chest to help him exhale and breathe out the words.
I shove you off of Nyx.
We're not doing torture. That's not a thing here.
No, I was just helping him get it.
That's
out.
Not true. That did hurt him.
Oh.
That sound means hurting.
You okay, Nyx? Yeah, he's fine.
Don't touch him again.
Playing hardball, huh? And then I pick him up and I grab him by like his coat, and I'm like, tell us the codes.
And he kind of like struggles half awake, and mutters, I was the fourth best courtesan. I don't have codes. And then he coughs blood in your face and passes out.
Brash, you picked the fourth best courtesan.
I'm ignoring both of them and just trying to treat Nyx's injuries.
I mean, they're not
I'm
really
determined not to pull a gun on my team again, but it's like 50-50 at this point.
It's at this point kind of like dabbing his brow. I mean, he's not that much more injured than he was. It's just definitely not like a nice recovery position.
Mm. Yeah, I want to try to get him into a nice recovery position. I'm just ignoring this now.
If you two want to go interrogate the person who can actually talk, feel free. No torture.
I just pick up Nyx to try to get Nyx somewhere safe.
Dibs turns to Sweep Sweep and goes, I do not think that I was the first Dibs. And Sweep Sweep just responds, Sweep Sweep. All right, so you lay Nyx back down. He's kind of drifting in and out of consciousness. The problem that I think you're facing is the codes that the Cup Syndicate needs are like kind of override, like massive server override codes, basically like hack the world, hack the planet, like that movie Hackers. So you can, I would say in terms of both Nyx and Shatterstar, you can attempt to determine using some, I'll let you roll for this, to determine whether they would know anything beyond what they've kind of given you. They might. You don't really know too much about Agrippa's Syndicate, obviously, since you were all just kind of brought in. Or you could go to the Cup Syndicate itself and get further clarification on what specifically they need.
I feel like we've discussed going to the Cup Syndicate, and that without having something that they want that we know is valuable, but at the same time can't be too valuable, we will get killed. So we need to,
after probably like 3 minutes of like dabbing Nyx's brow and just hearing two people who are incapable of making a plan and interrogating someone go from like death threats to just like, what if we've, I don't know. And it's just, I just get tired and I stand up. I'm like, all right, let's make this really easy. Shatterstar, you're clearly very capable. We all appreciate what you've done here. And I think we can all agree that Agrippa is very pissed off with all of us, which means we need a way out, which means we need more information. So there are two possibilities here. One, you have the codes and are not telling. Or two, you know who we should kidnap to get the codes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's lots of people on the base. Agrippa's been real paranoid lately. The jukebox isn't the first time that the Cup Syndicate's tried to get someone on the inside to rat on the organization. There was a whole hacker group actually working for the Black Sun that that seemed to be trying to get in, and she put up some extra security around that. But those guys might have more capability, at least in terms of people you could kidnap. I mean, her major domo would have it, but you'd have to get into her palace. I mean, the problem is most of the people you want are where you don't want to be.
True. If we could get access to Agrippa, we could probably just shoot Agrippa, and that seems to solve a lot of problems. So the Black Sun might have some interesting information. Do we trust Shatterstar? I feel like I do, but this feels like a triumvirate situation.
You guys can also roll a check to see how accurate her information is.
I will roll that fucking check.
So Ryan, I think that's probably going to be a perception and cunning. Although, yeah, I'd say perception and cunning is probably about right. Alternatively, I'd give you leadership if you want to try and, like, talk her.
Yeah, I think it's that. Like, yeah, I want to have that speech. I'm like, this is something that we all need to do together. I would drop you off if I could. However, Agrippa would punish you like Agrippa would punish us. We need to come together. We need to form a bond. We need to become a beautiful brother, sister, person, beinghood together. It is the only way to survive.
Sweep Sweep raises his broom and goes, sweep, sweep.
And sweep, sweep. And.
Dibs, and sir.
Dibs, sir. All of us together. Just organic materials or inorganic materials rising up to not be disintegrated.
And me, Kano.
Kano was sort of covered by the first group, but he's new.
I just wanted to feel involved, guys. You know, it's...
Kano, come stand over here, and I shove him into some mediocre like, and I'm like, raise your fist over your head.
Uh-huh.
And now say, I'm a part of the group.
I'm a part of the group.
Wonderful, you're in. Okay, so...
I invite him to sit on my bike with me.
He does, it's awkward.
And that's the speech, I say.
Right, so go ahead and construct your pool there. So take your cunning and your presence and your leadership.
Great. So that's three ability dice, but I am very good at leadership, so that two of them become proficiency.
Cool. I'm going to give you one purple for just the general difficulty. And actually, let's make that two, and I'll give you one black from the earlier threats and the... potential strangling of Nyx.
Great. And because I am super good at leadership, I get to remove the black because I'm using my leadership, and I get to add a boost dice because I'm just so convincing with leadership. I'm only ever doing speeches from this time forwards. All right. Let's see what we got. Oh, my. Oh, no. I have to do math in this game. Okay. Threat balances advantage. Okay, so I end up with four success and two advantage.
Jesus.
Wow.
Space Jesus. Okay, cool. So Shatterstar is like gently panicked, but also vaguely inspired. And also, I think at this point, it's become pretty clear that both her and Nyx don't have somewhere to go back to. This is, with everything that's happened, they can't exactly just show back up and be like, hey, boss. What's up?
That's a famous Huddies phrase.
Yeah, so...
Another tongue flaps.
What's up? Oh, man, this is going to be real fun for our 90s listeners. once they dial up to their internets. So despite their kind of like blue eyes of Agrippa, they seem to have sworn allegiance. So Shatterstar kind of gets to work hashing out all the details she remembers. And basically she explains that, there was a hacker group that, to the best of her knowledge, was associated with the Black Sun that was carrying out attacks. That said, Agrippa installed much better security, and the attacks became less successful, and then suddenly stopped mysteriously out of nowhere. You kind of got that lead. In terms of people, who you could kidnap, it's mostly people at the base. In terms of the odds of Agrippa having hostages, that's definitely something she's a big fan of, so that's entirely possible. But again, she wasn't... Agrippa's organization is large. So, you know, for a mechanic kind of on the ground and for a courtesan, they kind of know their own corners of it, but neither of them, like the madam of the house that Nyx was a part of would know sort of access codes and stuff. And like the lead engineer would likely know stuff. But for Nyx and Shatterstar, this is just kind of a job. Hmm. In fact, I know I said they had blue eyes. I would argue these guys probably don't, because they're low enough down the chain that they wouldn't. Like, that's more of
initiated?
A... Yeah, it's kind of like a Yakuza tattoo situation. You have to kind of earn it.
Okay, so no, they definitely don't know the codes then.
So if we want to put together all of our interests here, what it sounds like we could go find this Black Sun, whoever the mysterious hacker has disappeared, find out the information they have, and then there are two plans. One, we take the codes to the Cup Cartel, and we betray Agrippa. Or two, if we have full access to the base, knowing the understanding of the people in this room... we assassinate Agrippa and claim the hostages. We won't know until we know the codes, which might mean we want to look for this hacker?
Yeah, killing seems a little messy. I like the first
one. I'm fine with killing.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if he does it, then I'm not around, then that works for me.
We'll keep you in a separate room.
Sure, okay.
You can hang out with that major domo.
If Agrippa's got my kid, I need to get her back.
Very hard to argue with that logic the child is real.
It has occurred to me that I should maybe just try calling my parents and see if they're okay.
All right, why don't we open with that? That is actually a very good step one.
Yeah. So, Vic, you kind of settle into the comms booth and you patch into your parents. The vid screen kind of leaps to life and you see a robotic butler kind of just walking by, who's in the middle of like cleaning the lens. And keep in mind, it's Star Wars technology, so it's all like weird shaky holograms. Mm. The robot butler goes, "Oh, hey, I'm sorry, Master Dunbar. I was not expecting your call. It is I, M1L0, Milo, your helpful butler companion. I have not seen you in some years. Are you coming to visit soon?
Maybe. Hey, is Mom or Dad around? I need to quickly chat with them make sure they're not hostages.
They stepped out to a bowling alley. Would you like me to go get them? It's the one in the basement.
Yes. Do that, please.
Okay. Pardon me 1 minute. Milo, unfortunately, has two interlocking legs, so its motion is very slow. So you watch it kind of awkwardly shuffle very slowly out of frame and kind of smaller and smaller and smaller. You hear some bumping and some stumbling.
Vic kind of thinks to himself, it's always so weird that Milo introduces himself to me every time we see each other.
I'm just slowly eating cheese, like shaking my head and dabbing Nyx's forehead.
After an uncomfortable amount of time, you hear some commotion. And your dad comes sweeping up the stairs, and he's wearing like really squeaky bowling shoes, and he's wearing like a traditional Star Wars bowling tunic, you know, like they do every time they go bowling in Star Wars.
Yeah,
it started on Falleen.
He comes up and he's like, "Oh, Vic.
Hey, Dad.
Hey,
you doing well?
Well, no, I mean, your mother's bowling much better than I am today. They say you can't lose with the bumpers up, but I gotta tell you, that is a straight lie.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's good to see you. I was actually just calling to make sure that you were not hostages of Agrippa the Blue.
I don't know what any of those words mean other than hostages. Are you okay? What happened to you? I thought you were... Aren't you on some kind of poker tour?
Yeah, no, I'm doing great. Yeah, the tour is going really well. I'm enjoying myself.
When are you going to bring me some grandkids?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll have to find some.
That's my boy. Always thinking, Vic. Always thinking. Anyway, I got to go back to the bowling dungeon, but... You take care. Oh, hey, by the way, we're still getting your mail here, which is real strange. It's a huge expense to have envelopes shipped through space.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm a classy guy.
you moved all of your holdings off Alderaan when we told you to, right? Well, so we got the heads up. So we moved all of ours.
I didn't get around to it, but I can do it, you know, later if it's a thing that, like, absolutely must be done.
Vic, the whole planet got blown up.
What do you mean the whole planet got blown up?
No, the whole planet got blown up.
Like our stocks and everything, like, it's just an explosion in value and everything has gone up. Like, well, there was an explosion and that, I mean, like, the blow up that
yes,
way?
Yes, there was an explosion, and yes, the value did briefly go up as it turned into space particles and drifted away. No, it's all gone.
What is all gone? What is this, Dad? This is, you're goofing me right now, and it's
Vic,
hardly the time.
We told you a few times. We got the heads up from our friends on the, well, I mean, you know, we can't really say it anymore, but the Death Star, to move our finances. Did you not?
No. Is it too late? It's not too late.
You are.
How bad a hit did we take?
Sorry excuse for an aristocrat, my son. Good luck. Hey, Milo, come say your goodbye. And Milo comes over and goes, hi, it's me, your friendly robot.
Hi.
M1L0. Milo.
Hi, Milo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Milo clicks off the hologram.
All right. I'll come back out a little dejected that, you know, my inheritance, like just like the fortune that they gifted me.
You earned that gift.
Yeah. And
being born.
Yeah. They gifted me a fortune, and I just kind of invested it and was just living off of the interest.
So, based on your facial expression, did you find out Alderaan has been destroyed?
It must have just happened. I can't believe... I can't believe our luck that I would be in the middle of this, you know, diamond heist. I keep forgetting... Sorry, I, the player, keep laughing at how fucking stupid it is that Vic is writing his own heist.
So,
narrative.
Were your parents hostages as well? Or?
No, they're fine. We can dump it. This is a stupid mission. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go drink.
And so, Vic bellies up to the bar, and for a second, a chill passes over you. It's like a million credits cried out in anguish, and then we're silenced.
That's what it's like. Only. Like trillions. Like, it's just a lot.
And to the somewhat soothing shake, shake, shake of shake, shake, now dibs, making you a Dagobah mudslide, you reflect on your new situation and your new world.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at AdamMcNamara13 on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Kronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. Now get out of my shop.
I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, Jason Denson, James Cuellar, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.